And good Saturday morning to you. This is the Victoria Steele Show. I'm your host, Victoria. And we have the witty punsmith, John Davidson, running things on the technical side on the other side of the window. Good morning, John.
Good morning. I don't know how I got that title, but we'll go with it.
You've earned it. But most of you, see, the audience doesn't really get to hear most of your puns. They're hilarious, but timing is everything. So when you say
it's
them out of context,
well,
they're just not, you know, it doesn't work. But I just want everybody to know you're the punniest guy I know. Well, okay, there's one other person that I know that is an older radio dude too. And you radio dudes that have been in this business for a long, long time, you got the puns down, and you've got them. You've got them, John.
So it's all words.
You keep me going. Okay, so we are looking forward to a great show today. Today, the topic is not only the ERA, but why is the state legislature trying to silence women? No, they're not trying to. They are silencing women. So let's get to our guests. We have two amazing women joining us today. First, we have in studio is State Representative Pamela Powers Hanley. Welcome, Pamela.
Thanks for inviting me, Victoria.
You're quite welcome. Pamela is in District 9. She and Representative Randy Fries and I make up your legislative representation for District 9 in Tucson. And for those who don't know, that is from Speedway to Ina-ish, over to Sabino Canyon Road, over to Cortero Farms. And it's sort of weird shaped, so it's not a square by any means, but it's a great part of the city, of the county. I love this district, and more importantly, I love the people here. We also have with us today Kim Mundus. Now, you may not recognize that name, but hopefully you will soon, because she is fantastic. She is a fighter, and Kim is in the... Kim, are you there?
I am here. Happy to be here.
Okay, where are you from? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chandler.
Chandler, okay. Kim is the woman who organized that 38-mile march or hike or walk or whatever to promote, to lift up the Equal Rights Amendment and to encourage lawmakers to vote for it, to have the vote and to vote for it. And Pamela Powers Hanley and I, we both have, Pamela's in the House, I'm in the Senate, and we both have introduced the Equal Rights Amendment ratification bill, and we've both done this several times in the past as well. But we did it again this year. And this year, we wanted people to know that we are serious. So we have been making this full court press effort to let the world know that, and here's what we want the world to know, that the Equal Rights Amendment, and let me read the words to you. This is very short. It is the same 24 words, powerful, beautiful in their simplicity. They were introduced to Congress in 1923 by a woman, a suffragette named Alice Paul. This is history, folks. Here it is. Equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. Simple. It doesn't talk about military. It doesn't talk about unisex bathrooms, doesn't talk about destroying the family, but there's a lot of fear around it. People think, oh my gosh, what is this? This is scary. This is bad. We've been trying to get this, basically, we've been trying to get women included in the Constitution for more than a century. But so this was introduced in Congress in 1923. It didn't get passed until 1972. That's a long time to work on that legislation. Year after year after year, they kept working on it. Finally, 1972. I remember. I was just a kid. I was like a teenager. I was watching all this happening and thinking, wow, women are going to have equality. We're going to be in the Constitution. We're going to be equal to men in every way. This is just wonderful. Now, equal doesn't mean the same. It just means we have equal power in the legislation or in the world. And so I was so excited about that. But because it is an amendment to the Constitution, it has to be ratified by 38 states or 3/4 of the state in the nation. And in the 1970s, this woman named Phyllis Schlafly decided to turn this into a religious political thing. And it had been something that was very much supported by Republicans and Democrats. I mean, this it was very across the board sensible. We need to do this. And then this woman made it about religion, and she made it about if women have equality, the world will end and things will be awful. And that took hold. Ironically, that actually took hold. People believed that baloney. So they started it. They basically started this huge campaign saying the ERA would destroy the family, and people believed this woman. And the ratification process kind of stalled out in the 80s. And in the 80s, they had reached about 35 states that had ratified. We only need 38. And then it kind of stalled out. Nobody talked about it. Nobody was thinking about it. But every year in the Arizona legislature, people were putting this up for discussion. And so a couple of years ago, a certain person got elected, and people started realizing that women don't have as many rights. And with the Me Too, the hashtag Me Too movement, we started realizing that we really need equality. We need to be considered equal in the Constitution. This is critical. This is important. Most people don't even know that we didn't have this. They thought it happened a long time ago, so they assume that we're safe. So there's been this like, oh, we're cool. We're cool. We're okay. No problem. Now we're seeing our rights disappear. So we know we are not cool anymore. And so 2 years ago, Nevada passed the Equal Rights Amendment. They ratified it. Last year, Illinois ratified it. That means we need one more state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. And I believe that Arizona can be that state. I really believe. I have talked to so many people. There is overwhelming support. Pamela, what have you found for the Equal Rights Amendment? What's been your feedback?
Oh, I think there's definitely a lot of support for the Equal Rights Amendment in the state of Arizona. Every time I go and make a speech about it, you know, I get applause. You know, there are women with gray hair like mine. I was in college. I was at Ohio State in 1972.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of women like that out there who were been fighting for it since the 70s, who are ready to get this done. And then there are young women like Kim, who I love you. I've been following you on Twitter, and it's so great to see your enthusiasm. I was excited to see you guys. I watched you from my office walk into the parking lot with that banner, and it was like, I almost had tears in my eyes.
I did have tears in my eyes.
It was truly a great honor to have that banner. That was one of the banners that was used when they marched on Washington back in the 70s.
Wow.
So that really was a very important physical piece of history that we had custody of for 3 days, and it was really quite special for us to have that.
I was there on the ground with you when you guys came in. I took pictures. I watched as women were sobbing, holding on to you, hugging you, kissing you, just crying and screaming, and it was beautiful. I've got video. I'm going to put it up on Facebook after this show so that people can see it. It was amazing. And then we all started making speeches, because on that day we had planned to be in the Senate. We had planned to do a motion where you suspend the rules. And then you can vote. You can bring the motion to the floor for a vote. But first you have to vote to suspend the rules. And we really believed that we had the people to do that. We had four Republicans initially that had agreed to this legislation. And then one of them was a newer Republican. I'm not going to name these people because I just, you know, I got to work with them. But I'm so disappointed that they didn't have the backbone to stand up for what I know that they believe in this. They didn't have the backbone to do that. And so I'm you know, I have nothing really good to say about them right now because we really needed them to stand up for us that day. And they didn't.
I'm happy to call them out by name. I don't have to work for them with them. And in fact, they work for me. So let's name names. I was there in the gallery. They called for a vote, and at her desk, Michelle Eugenti-Rita, one of the co-sponsors of a bill for ERA ratification, took a stand and stood in front of all of us to vote to not proceed with a vote for that ERA bill. This is a woman who sponsored legislation only to turn around and given the chance, do what she could to kill it. And didn't really make sense to me. I'm not entirely sure what her game plan is there. I do know that she spoke in January very favorably of the Equal Rights Amendment. She specifically mentioned that women in her district, Republican women, the word that she used is this is a no-brainer. To use her word, she said that getting this passed is a no-brainer. That many of the Republican women that she speaks to in her district believe that we have these protections. And she was very clear in her time at the podium that no, what she's trying to tell them is that we do not have these protections. So she very clearly understands that these protections are not in place. She's hearing from constituents that this is a priority for them. She's taking steps that suggest this is a priority for her, but her actions prove otherwise. So sure how she goes back to her constituency at this point.
Me either. Now, if you would like to join the conversation this morning, you are welcome to call in 520-790-2040. We have a caller on the line. Joe, good morning.
Hey, how's it going? I'm just so glad you're having this conversation, but you know, this to me, I've been a Democrat since my political life began, since the 80s. I had a mullet, embarrassingly enough. but these are politics that go back to when I had a mullet and a horrible hairstyle.
Yep.
And you know what? This should have been put to bed a long time ago. And I think this is more of a function about a weak Democratic Party that won't put this on a platform and show us what good Democratic policies would be. And you look at the attacks on Planned Parenthood across the country, you know, the Republicans, we got to quit talking about them like they've got a, 5-foot vertical jump and they're 10 feet tall and they can't be challenged. They're cerebrally so powerful. They put together, unbeatable platform. No, that is not it. The Democratic Party always sells off these interests we go through the primary, everybody stands up tall, and then we come to the general and they go, yeah, we're abandoning you, base. We're going to turn to the middle. We're going to go get some Republican voters. We're going to get, conservative, independent minds. And they just blow us off at this can't be done anymore. We're in the information age, and this Democratic Party needs to step up to the pump in a big way and pump energy towards this shouldn't even be a thing, and I am disgusted, but I am not going to be putting up with this as a Democrat. That's not my party. I don't need Republicans in my party. When I listen to your panel, this is what getting good information out there is. And yeah. I don't need Republicans in this party.
And Pamela wanted to respond to something that you're saying.
Yeah. You may make very good points, Joe. I wanted to point out though, that, Victoria and I were so excited when Senate candidate Mark Kelly came out very strong for the Equal Rights Amendment. Now, it would be nice if other congressional representatives talked more about it and if other legislators talked more about it. You know, in the legislature, we've got all the Democrats, but they could be making more of a show of this, and particularly on the congressional level, because at the congressional level, we need the Congress to eliminate the deadline for the ERA. So there are some people stepping up, but you make a very good point.
All right. And Joe, thanks for calling in. We are going to have to take a short break, and we will be back and we'll tell you the rest of the story that day that the marchers came back from their 38-mile hike. It's not pretty. And we're back with the Victoria Steele Show. I'm Victoria. We have with us today State Representative Pamela Powers Hanley and Kim Mundis, who is calling in on the phone from Chandler. And Kim is the one who started that 38-mile hike. And so, Pamela, I'm going to let you pick up the story. So they showed up, and then we had this plan. We were going to force it to a vote on the floor of the Senate that day. And what, you know, what was your, as those marchers walked in, and that was an amazing moment. You were watching from the window upstairs. You came down, and we all started making speeches. You pick up the story from there.
So yes, the plan was, as you said, to introduce it in the Senate and to introduce it at some other time in the House. And so with the House, we were going to have some ERA supporters, some marchers in the gallery. And so I asked Rebecca McHood, who was also one of the organizers, to give me names of who was going to be in the gallery and a little bit about them or why they wanted to march. And so I distributed these to different Democrats. We had some from our districts and we had some other people. And but it really got out of control because a few months ago, the Republicans had changed the rules that made introductions 1 minute long. And they apparently thought that they had also changed the rules so they could control our content, which it was not the case. So once we started standing up and introducing these women and reading what they wrote on their pieces of paper about how excited they were about the march and how much they supported the ERA, the Republicans started shutting us down, and it was not pretty. One after another, you know, Democratic House women stood up wearing white, talking about the ERA, and they were shut down one by one, gaveled down by T.J. Shope, who is the Speaker Pro Tem, and he was the one in the seat. And they kept saying, you are not following the rules. You know, the rules say you can't read something by somebody, but the rules only say 1 minute. So it got ugly, and it turned into about a two-hour debate. So it was interesting that they had a two-hour debate in the Senate and a totally different two-hour debate about censorship and the ERA in the House.
Okay, so we've got the some of our folks put together a video, pieces and clips of what happened in the House on the floor that day. And this just gets my dander up. I'm really tired because I have been holding on to this anger for 2 weeks now. The story just keeps getting more maddening. So here is the video. We're just going to play the video, and you're going to hear the audio from that day after the marchers came back and we went to the House floor. Let's go ahead and play that. And we honor them all as well. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice, and the Victoria Steele Show. If you would like to be included in our conversation today, this is an important conversation. 520-790-2040. We will be back with Kim Mundis and State Representative Pamela Powers Hanley right after this break. And we're back with the Victoria Steele Show. My guests this hour are Pamela Powers Hanley, State Representative from LD9, my seatmate, and also Kim Mundis, who organized that 38-mile march. Kim, tell us why. Why did you organize the march? And just 1 second, I just want to say, if you'd like to join join us by phone, you can call in at 520-790-2040. 40. And so, Kim, welcome back. Thank you for joining us by phone from Chandler this morning. What possessed you to start this 38-mile march?
Well, first, I have to admit I get a little emotional every time I watch that video.
I know.
The women in the house standing their ground and fighting with such courage and conviction. That is the leadership that our daughters deserve. That is the leadership that we expect. That is what needs to happen every day. And it was just, it was very moving. So I did try to pull myself together during the commercials, and I'll pull it together now. So
I just get furious every time I see it. They're silencing us. But go ahead.
Furious. I'm inspired. We need more of that.
Yes, we need
that courage, the conviction, the honesty, the raw just integrity and knowing that they are right and refusing to accept no for an answer. It is, yes, the way they are treated is terribly. We all know that sexism in those buildings is so pervasive, it is palpable.
It is.
To stand in defiance of that is inspiring. So why did we march?
Yeah, why?
So, you know, there's no shortage of dysfunction in our state government here in Arizona. Unfortunately, the ERA bills have been a casualty of this dysfunction. And while this is something seemingly stuck at the state level here in Arizona, it has national implications. We need one more state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment. 160 million women and girls are currently being held hostage by a couple of ideologues, extremists, misogynists, and cowards. And it's unacceptable. And the rest of the country deserves to see what we are up against in Arizona. Yes, this is happening at the state level, but this is a national issue of paramount importance.
That's right. You are so right. Man, the way that you said that gives me chills. This whole thing, you know, somebody said, and I can't, somebody in the suffragette movement way, way a long time ago said, failure is impossible. I totally agree with that. I want to tell you about what happened on March 8th, because on March 8th, we were looking at International Women's Day. So the day before that, March 7th, because we're not in session on Fridays, that was a Friday. So on March 7th, at the Capitol, we were going to do something called a discharge plan. And it is something that legally Democrats or the minority party has very little power that we can do. But if we follow the rules, there are rules that we can use that will give us procedures that we can invoke that will allow us to do certain things. So I had planned to do what's called a discharge petition. My Senate President Karen Fan had assigned my bill to Eddie Farnsworth's Judiciary Committee, where she knew it would never see the light of day. She knew that, and we begged her to not put it in Eddie's committee, but she did anyway. And so we knew that it was probably going to die there unless we did something. So after the time when you could no longer bring a bill up to be heard, it was done. There was no point in trying. We couldn't do it. Eddie was not going to change his mind. He told me. I said, Eddie, please. I mean, you know, there are thousands of people, millions of people that want to hear this. He goes, I will never hear this bill. It's like, okay, that's pretty definitive. So we decided to use the discharge petition. So on the 7th, we had the Capitol was filled with women wearing white. You and I wore white, Pamela. And we were going to do this discharge petition, which would discharge. So what I needed was to get 18 signatures. That means I had to get five Republicans to sign on with the 13 Democrats who had already signed this petition, and we were ready to go. We were going to announce it on the floor, and this would discharge the bill from the committee where Eddie had control of it and was not letting it out. And it would bring it to the floor for a vote once we got the signatures. So I was going to stand on the floor that day in honor of Women's History Month, in honor of International Women's Day, which would be the following day. The gallery was filled with women and men wearing white and kids. There were some kids there that were too young to be in school. And we were so ready to do this. I had a beautiful speech written in which I started out talking about how Sandra Day O'Connor was the first woman when she was in the state legislature. She was a Republican, and back in the mid-70s, she introduced the ERA. She was a Republican. This was not a partisan thing. This was a simple thing about human equality, men and women, period, equality. And I wanted to make that clear. And then also that in 1975, Sister Claire Dunn, she was the first Catholic nun ever elected anywhere. And she served from my district, from our district, Pamela, in District 9 in Tucson. And she served, and she, in 1975, introduced the ERA. And when it didn't pass that day or that year, she made this amazingly powerful speech where she talked about really what, you know, and just recently it was put into the Arizona Daily Star to talk about things have really not changed all this much. And so this powerful speech was there. And then I was going to talk about the discharge petition, that I have this discharge petition, which would take it out of committee, move it to the floor. Once I get enough signatures, I need 5 Republican signatures, and I'm going to go around and meet with each one of you individually and answer any questions and address any concerns you might have about this. And seconds before we were to go on the floor, Senate President Fan called me back to the back of the room where the people up in the gallery would not be able to see me. Now, what she didn't know was that we had ABC 15 was filming this. When they saw her take me to the back of the room, they started rolling the tape. Now, they couldn't hear what was being said, but basically she said, Victoria, I understand you're going to be causing some trouble today. I've seen it on Facebook. What's going on? What are you going to do? And I said, I'm not causing trouble. And I told her exactly what I had planned to do, which was my legal right. She goes, oh, no. No, if you do that, I will consider it going around me, and you will not do that. And then she said, you know, and I said, listen, I've got all of these women up here. They are expecting this. They're waiting for this. She goes, you will not do this. I forbid you to do it. I don't think she used the word forbid, to be honest, but she just said, you will not do this. Uh-uh. I will not let you speak. And then I said, no, I have to speak. This is an honor of Women's History Month. She said, you can't do the discharge petition. So I walked away feeling very dejected, thinking, what am I going to say? Is she going to even let me talk? So I took out the paragraph where I was going to be talking about the discharge petition. And I said, I won't do the discharge petition. She goes, you promise you won't do it. And I said, you have my word. I won't do it. She goes, even after today. And I said, even after today, I won't do it. And she said, all right. And then she took my script out of my hands. It was on a clipboard. And at this point, we're standing up at the dais. And she takes it out of my hands, and she starts reading it. She goes, let's see what you got here. Oh, no, you're not saying this. And I said, wait, Karen, that's Sister Dunn's words. Those aren't my words. And she goes, oh, you're not saying this either. And she looks and she takes her finger and she crosses through another paragraph. She crossed through 3 paragraphs. And I said, Senator Fan, those are Sister Claire Dunn's words. That was from 1975. She goes, that's inflammatory language. And you will not say that on my floor. You will not disturb my caucus. That is calling my caucus out, and I will not have it. And so she took out literally 4 paragraphs from my 2-page script. And then she let me read it. And everybody up there was waiting for me to say that we were doing, they knew that we were planning this. They were waiting for this. They were waiting to hear Sister Dunn's students. And she later died. She was killed in an accident. Her students, she's beloved in Tucson. They were waiting in the gallery to hear her words, and they didn't hear them. because I couldn't say them. And that was just, so a couple of, that was on a Thursday. On the next Monday, I stood up and I said this, I read this, and I was surrounded by every Democratic member of my caucus on the floor. We just stood up and I said, last Thursday, I stood on this floor to make a speech to mark Women's History Month and to honor retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor and Sister Claire Dunn, both of whom represented this legislature and supported the Equal Rights Amendment. But moments before speaking, my speech was taken out of my hands and I was told I could not read parts of it. Those were the words of former senator or former legislator, Sister Claire Dunn. Because I was trying to be diplomatic and find common ground, I read the speech that had been edited for me. Over the weekend, I reflected on what happened and realized my speech had been censored unfairly. I feel that my words were muted. I represent thousands of people of District 9 in Tucson. I am their voice. And when my speech is silenced, so is theirs. And that is why I felt it necessary to make these remarks today. And then I sat down and I shut up. And of course, the Senate president denied. She said no one ever took your speech out of your hands and you were not censored. And you were about to do something inappropriate, which is not true. None of that was true. So we are at an impasse on this. I am not accepting no. I am not stopping on this.
Well, so speaking of getting no and not accepting it, I would like to know, as a taxpayer, you said when that petition was circulated prior to that day, every Democrat signed on, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Which Republicans were given the opportunity to sign and which ones refused?
I talked to every Republican that I thought would sign it, and I talked to Tyler Pace. He was a new Republican male. He sits beside me in the health committee, and I asked him, and he looked at it and he read it. He goes, I don't know why this didn't happen a long time ago. And he just quickly signed it and then he handed it back. He said, my constituents really want me to do this.
But that's the bill. That wasn't the discharge petition, though.
Right. That was the bill. Yeah,
I know that there was,
since the Democrats had no problem with the discharge petition, I'm curious. I mean, again, we're not taking no for an answer here.
Right.
Which Republicans were given the opportunity to do the right thing? Which Republicans were offered the opportunity to sign that petition, and which ones said no?
They were not given the opportunity. Karen Fann, the Senate president, would not allow me to do the discharge petition, which, so I was unfairly shut down, like the women in the House were unfairly shut down. But on the day that we had the march, so you guys came back and we were so, I am so enormously proud of you and all of the people, men, women, and kiddos that went on that march. That it just breaks my heart that you had what happened that day inside that legislative building, both of them, was just, it was so different. What happened in the Senate was completely different than what happened in the House, but both were awful. So in the Senate, what we got to do was they allowed us to have 2 hours of debate. Well, not really debate. We each got up to make, we were allowed to speak as long as we wanted, and they let us go, and it took 2 hours. And then the end, we were going to suspend the rules, and so you have to vote to allow to suspend the rules. And there were 4 Republicans that had signed on my petition, or not my petition, my bill, at the very beginning, and none of them stood up for me on that day. None of them stood up for the ERA on that day. And I consider that just a lack of backbone, because there's this woman in the state capitol who is a major lobbyist. She's an abortion lobbyist. She fights the, you know, women's right to have an abortion. And she's like the modern day Phyllis Schlafly. She keeps bringing back all of those things. This is about abortion. This is about abortion. And it's not. But so she got her troops all gathered around, and she threatens the lawmakers. We're going to primary you. We're going to kick you out of office, and all of your bills will be killed if you vote for the ERA. That's pretty powerful stuff. And they do. We are going to have to take a short break, and we're going to come back, and I'm going to tell you the rest of what happened in that that debate on the Senate floor that day. And we'll hear more. You are listening to KVOI, The Voice. And we're back with the Victoria Steele Show. My guests are State Representative Pamela Powers Hanley and Kim Mundus, who organized that march. And we have on the phone with us, by the way, if you'd like to join us, the phone number is 520-790-2040. Susan Whitaker is calling in this morning. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning. It's Suzanne Whitaker.
Suzanne, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to call in and publicly thank you, ladies. I'm a friend of Kim Mundus, and I've seen her passion. I'm so proud of her and proud to call her my friend. And I've been so interested in reading about all of about the sister that you spoke about.
Yes.
And I read your article, and I've been following this very closely. I wrote a paper on the ERA back in high school. That's how long this thing's been going
on.
So it's just kind of, it's very unnerving to see people like Eddie Farnsworth, who has way too much power, and I call him the Mitch McConnell of Arizona because he obstructs everything. He drives me nuts. But I think what's been very frustrating is to see people like Kathy Herod and Karen Fan. Those women really stand in the way of our progress.
Oh,
and
me
then,
too.
Of course, the Republican women who we need out on this is very frustrating. So I just really want to say thank you so much for what you're doing.
Thank you for calling.
And I'm also proud of Mitzi Epstein. She is my representative in LD18.
She's great.
And I just love her. So I just wanted to publicly thank you, ladies.
You are so welcome. Really
appreciate it.
And the guys have really, thank you for calling in, Suzanne. I appreciate you doing that. I appreciate the work that you do as well. We are all in this together. I don't care if you're on the radio or not. I don't care if you're in office or not. We are all in this together. I'm going to read very quickly the remarks that I read on the floor on that day when Kim, you were in the audience. And so I wrote, as Arizona moves closer to ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment, some myths have resurfaced. Allow me to set the record straight. The ERA was introduced in Congress in 1923. I'm going to skip over some of this. Some claim the 14th Amendment already gives women all the protection they need, but Supreme Court Justice Scalia refuted that when he said certainly the Constitution does not require discrimination on the basis of sex. The only issue is whether it prohibits it. It doesn't. Besides, if women had all the constitutional protections we needed under the 14th Amendment, why did we need the 19th Amendment to vote? Yes, women have more rights today than ever before, but those rights are based on laws that can and do change with each political election. If our laws were working, why is there still a gender pay gap? On average, Arizona women make 83 cents to every dollar a man makes, but women of color make far less. Women are paid less than men across all industries, full-time or part-time. To be clear, the ERA is not about abortion. The fight over reproductive rights will continue long after the ERA is enshrined in the Constitution. If it was about abortion, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, a Republican and Catholic nun, Sister Claire Dunn, would never have introduced the ERA in Arizona as they did in the mid-70s. In 1776, Abigail Adams wrote a letter to her husband asking him to please remember the ladies in the new code of laws. And he forgot, of course. But women have not forgotten our thirst for fairness. And there's more. But that's the heart of basically of what I wrote or what I said on the floor that day, because we were allowed to speak for as long as we wanted in the Senate. We were not shut down the way that the women in the House were shut down. The Sylvia Allen, one of the state senators, an older woman who has been there forever, a very, very conservative. She got up and, of course, made a very long speech about why she is opposed to the ERA. I'm going to read you some of the things that she said. These are myths, These are not true, okay? She said the model of sex equality would require no segregation in prisons, reform schools, public restrooms, hospitals, and other public facilities. No special accommodations for women in the workforce and the military would be allowed. Again, these are all lies, but this is what she said. The ERA would require all judges to use the same standard of review in sex discrimination cases that they do now in deciding other cases. A man could sue his employer or prospective employer on the grounds that a woman was chosen because she's a woman and he was discriminated against. Under the ERA, Sylvia said, no law can make any distinctions based on sex. That means it would be impossible for boys' sports to keep girls out. Already, transgender men are disrupting women's sports, she said. It has everything to do with abortion, she said. And then she ended with, I don't need the ERA. I celebrate my God-given genetic and unique differences as a woman, and I am thankful for the God-given difference of my husband, who has always let me fly. Okay, there is
well,
so
I
much.
I must respond to that because I'm very glad that the 14th Amendment was raised. I'm very glad that these unintended consequences that keep getting thrown out have been brought up.
Yeah.
I have been doing some research when the 14th Amendment was proposed and the process of getting it ratified, and I was curious to see what the arguments against it were then, because we certainly see what the arguments against the ERA are now. I'd like to read a statement, brief statement, from a gentleman, Congressman Rogers.
He was okay, quickly, that, because we're running out of time.
He warned the 14th Amendment would take away the government's authority to choose who deserves privileges and immunities. Quote, it will prevent any state from refusing to allow anything to anybody embraced under this term of privileges and immunities. That, sir, will be an introduction to the time when despotism and tyranny will march forth undisturbed and unbroken in this land which was once the land of freedom. So here we are all these years later on the brink of hysteria.
That's right. That's right.
Herod, okay. Chicken Little, the sky is falling.
And I got to read to you.
Later, and none of those horrible things happened.
I got to read to you what Eddie Farnsworth said before we go. Now, he talked about, I've got a wife, I've got 7 daughters, many granddaughters, 6 sisters, and I could go on. And then he says, I can't imagine what a horrible world this would be if it were just made up of men. I can't imagine, and I don't want to imagine. Men are great. But if there were no women, no femininity, no softness, women can be firm and hard and strong. But they're also feminist. Meanwhile, the women in the gallery are laughing at this. And he said, and I make no apologies for saying that. He might want to rethink that. And then he went on to say that he's opposed to the ERA because it's being used for nefarious purposes. Yeah, that old nefarious purpose of equality of the sexes. I mean, it's just, it doesn't mean the same. It means equality. All right, folks, we are out of time. You have been listening to the Victoria Steele Show. Thanks for joining us. Bye.